1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Super pumped to be here today.
You're super pumped? I'm super pumped.
What a crazy coincidence.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
You got somebody over your shoulder.
This is Josh. He doesn't want to be on the air. He's our other producer.
Oh, no way. Yeah, thanks, off-air Josh.
Off-air producer Josh.
Yeah, I appreciate
it.
We
continue to grow here, and if you want to be part of that growth, make sure you send us an email at youngadults@thequestatlanta.com. Let us know your talents and come out and serve the Lord in this new media capacity.
We just reached 2 million followers on Twitter.
2 million on Twitter or X. Or no, you don't say X, you say Twitter.
Yeah. I do say Twitter.
We just had this conversation.
Yeah, I'm holding out in the Twitter sphere.
Yeah.
It just feels weird. It's tough to rebrand. It's like if somebody new bought Coke and they renamed it Not Coke. I can't do it.
Yeah. This episode is brought to you by
Not Coke. Oh. Yeah, okay, I thought you were trying to get me to say Pepsi, which is
that's a sin. We're filmed in Atlanta.
It is a bridge too far. Actually, when I did the pints thing not too long ago, I got a lot of hate for all my arbitrary, you know, standards of whether or not you're a good person based on stupid things. I refuse to even admit that it's like tongue in cheek. It's not tongue in cheek. I mean it. There's no hyperbole. I've never used hyperbole. Everything I've ever said, I mean literally. Everything.
I love all the hate that you get on there. And if you don't like something that he says, you guys are so nice in your comments. Throw out some hate comments. You know, let us know that you don't like something that John Henry said, because I get it.
Yeah. No, that's fair. All right. Well, today we have a single guest.
A single guest. I think he is single too. Also, I don't believe he's married.
A single guest.
Yeah.
We got the one, the only Jack in studio today. What's up, Jack?
Hello. It's good.
Good to have you on, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here. We're gonna delve into a pretty exciting couple of years story that Jack has here in a few minutes. So stay tuned for that. First, we're gonna open up in prayer. We're gonna hit some fun facts. It's gonna be a good show. Feel good about it.
Yeah.
Jack, you mind leading us?
Sure. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Dear Lord, thank you for today as every other day. Thank you for the food we got to eat, the people we got to see, and the places we got to go. Please keep those who are overseas and fighting for our country safe, and help them make the right decisions to protect us and them. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Dude, just like our off-air prayer, that was super solid, concise, none of that. That was good. That's like a 90, I'm going to give you 96. I'm going to give 96%. That is a high score.
Yeah,
that's really good. Good job. Everybody out there, take note on how to pray from Jack.
I keep wanting to call you by your last name. Great prayers again. Yeah, that's
no,
a hypothetical.
I'm sorry, you're right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, obviously, we don't grade prayers. We've been told not to grade prayers, so that was not an actual prayer grade. Were I to, though?
Yeah.
96. Hands down. Yeah, very good. All right, well, you got three fun facts, because there's
three
only one
facts,
of you.
Yeah.
So we're gonna go with, instead of one fun fact for three people, we're doing three fun facts for Jack.
Okay, so my first one, I'm the oldest of four.
Cool.
Four boys, so I would say very
all
wild
boys.
Household.
All boys. Yes. Okay, nice. I can't do that. I can't make boys.
Yeah, we drive our mother.
My wife is pregnant with my fifth daughter right
Congratulations.
Now.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. I'm excited about it.
So then my second one is I've wrestled for... since kindergarten.
Oh, nice.
So I've been a wrestler since kindergarten. My dad's been my coach. It's been a really good...
Like in a structured manner, not
just
like...
Yeah, like in a structured manner, not like in the living room.
With randos.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Like competitive wrestling since kindergarten.
Nice. That's fantastic.
And then my final fun fact is I used to be the editor for Honest to God.
It's true.
It is true.
Jack used to be the man behind the scenes.
Yep.
We would talk to you before the show came on, even though you weren't here. We'd talk to the camera. We would apologize to you when we went over and you had to edit down episodes. And
some of them were long.
Yeah. Yeah. We appreciate that, man.
Yeah. It was fun, though. It was fun.
Thanks for your service.
And thank you.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Julian, I think we got time for one from you.
Sure. Why not? This year marks a very special year for my family. We have three new sacraments in our family. My oldest got his confirmation. My middle child received his first Holy Communion, and the child in the womb will be baptized by the time that this airs.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is today, because every episode of Honest God is live. So.
Yeah, I forgot it was his baptism today.
Sorry.
His order, actually.
You're not finding out, right?
I don't remember. Yeah,
you didn't find out.
Find
you
out
haven't found out.
No.
They find out at the baptism. It's a unique thing. The baby's born, they throw the gown on him or her immediately, and then they don't check. until the day
it's
that they're baptized.
It's the new gender reveal trend. Check it out. Yeah, started here with the Saviano family.
That is wild. Yeah, so we're going to have babies about the same time, too, which is pretty exciting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mine will be a girl. Yours is, you don't know yet.
It's a TBD. Yeah, we'll find out at the baptism.
Yeah, I love that.
That already happened.
I love that. All right, so Jack, I'm really am excited that you're going to be on this show today. I've known you since you were a little guy.
Yeah.
I don't want to tell any of your story wrong, so I just want to kind of open it up for you and say, in a not as pointed as it sounds way, why are you here?
Why am I here?
Who do you think you
are? God put me here first.
Heck yeah. Way to go, God.
That was great. Yep.
That was a good move on his part.
Thank him.
Yeah.
So last year, or these past 8-9 months, has been a journey, I would say. It's been a very long journey. About a year ago, May of last year, a little friend, a little bump appeared on my neck.
Right.
And it was after, like, a virus, so we were kind of just like clogged up, like lymph node,
yeah,
like
sure.
Perfectly normal, just like human body working.
Mm-hmm.
And then that little bump lasted for 6 months.
Okay,
it didn't go away. It was there, it just kept growing and get bigger. We took tests. First tests were just like, is this still part of like a virus? Is this like something that we can treat with like bacteria or like antibiotics? So those first few months were me going through rounds and rounds of antibiotics, which nothing really worked. And then took more tests. The first test came back negative for cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're like, we have no clue what this can be. We've run every test possible.
Was it painful? Like, was it?
It wasn't really painful. It's just I had like a little like inch bump here.
Okay.
And then it started to like climb up like the vertebrae here.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. So that's scary stuff.
It started getting worse. And then we were like, something's wrong. So we had a biopsy done. So they drilled into it, took a little piece out and tested it. And then that came back positive for Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is a cancer.
Right.
So it was a cancer in the lymph node. I think it's blood related.
Okay.
It's like with leukemia, it's like a sister of that or whatever. And that was probably late September.
Okay.
So like September.
Of this past year?
Yeah, of this past year. So 2024, September 2024, I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. It was an interesting day. I remember I was online playing some games with some friends, some good old Call of Duty. And then my parents are just like, hey, Jack, we need to go talk. So they take me outside, and I love being outside. So like I was like, their normal talking spots, like our front porch at night when it's nice, dark, and cool.
Oh, that's cool.
I remember it was yeah. So then we start walking, and they're like, your test results came back. And like I kind of already known, I feel like, for like a decent amount of time. I'm like, guys, like I kind of told them, like, it's like cancer.
Like your friends are saying?
Not my friends, but like my parents. Like I had kind of like explained to them that like knowing, like kind of jokingly, knowing my luck, I have really, really bad luck. Ask any of my friends. They will tell you my dice rolls are horrible.
Right.
So knowing my luck, I kind of figured like this isn't going to be great. And I like kind of like known a little bit, I guess, just kind of like.
My wife calls that defensive pessimism, because I do it too. Anytime there's something wrong, I'm like, here's the worst thing it could possibly be. That's definitely what it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then if it's something not as bad, you're happy.
Yeah, exactly. Then you're in a great mood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when they told me, I'd kind of already known, and I was honestly happy about it because it wasn't something rare that no one had ever heard of.
Oh, I see.
Because I'd already been told it wasn't cancer. So I was like, what else could it be? If it's not cancer, like what could possibly not be like found out during any of these tests? Mm-hmm. Like what else could it be? Now having a disease named after me would have been cool, but I'm happy I'm here instead.
Sure. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. So they took me outside. We walked around the block a couple of times. They just kind of explained what was going to happen, what they knew so far. My mom works in a pediatric cancer office.
Oh,
so
wow. Okay.
She already knows all about this stuff. Like, this is her area of expertise.
So, and I don't mean in any way to, like, detract from this, yeah. but in the ranking, I honestly don't know the answer. In the ranking of cancer,
yeah.
right? There is a ranking, right?
Yes, most definitely.
My mother's is somewhere in that ranking, right? I know a lot of people have, and there's quote unquote good cancers and there's bad cancers. Yeah. Where does
this
Hodgkin's lymphoma
like
fall?
The best worst case scenario. So this was
bad one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this was like the better cancer. It has like one of the highest cure rates.
Oh, praise God. Okay. Yeah.
So once we didn't know what type it was at first, and then we got a call from the doctor. They explained it more. And then my mom was like, this is a good sign because like she knows about all this stuff from her job. This is hopefully one of the more curable ones. Mm-hmm. So that was really good news when I first heard that.
Sure.
We had about this time. We're starting to like see more doctors, like going to hospitals. We finally, I think it was like the weekend before my birthday. So a great birthday present.
Yeah.
We went to the doctor's office and they were like, here's what's going to happen. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to scan you, PET scan. We're going to give you an EKG, which is like a heart scan. Mm-hmm. We're going to give you an echo, which I think is also like a lung scan.
Okay.
Took some like fitness tests, basically. It was kind of weird.
They hook you up and make you run on the treadmill and all that. Yeah.
Breathing tests, that stuff, making sure everything else worked.
Sure.
Because other stuff didn't. And then they took me into a PET scan, pumped me full of radioactive glucose.
Okay.
Yep, which is fun.
Great.
So I was all shiny when they scanned me. Put me under the scan. We waited 3 days, I think. And then they finally came back with what stage it was.
Okay.
So it was stage one cancer, which was amazing.
Once
so
again, like, that's the best.
Best worst case scenario ever. So
best bad thing that happened to you in the cancer world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So stage one, Hodgkin's lymphoma, highly curable, just requires 4 months of hell, basically.
Right.
There's no other way to put it. So it was 4 months of chemotherapy and then PET scan halfway through and then one final PET scan at the end. And if both of those came back negative or like decreasing significantly, I wouldn't have to do radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. So I didn't have to do radiation, which was really, really nice because that's almost as bad, if not worse.
Right.
So chemo, the first chemo was interesting.
Can you give us a rundown of what that is like?
Yeah. So I go to the hospital at, I think it was 10 o'clock in the morning. It was just me and my mom, my dad. My brothers were off at home watching themselves. Or maybe my grandpa was there. We go to the hospital. We get checked in. They have to get these passes. So it was at the new Arthur and Blake Hospital for Choa. So they built it 30 days before I was diagnosed. Hey. So they basically built it for me.
For you.
That's how I like to think about it.
On your birthday.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Another best worst case scenario. Yeah. So pristine hospital. It's very pretty for a hospital. So they get these like patient guardian badges. They take me up to the infusion room where I'm going to get my chemo. We go in. It's the standard like height, weight. They check my like heart rate, my blood pressure, and then we go to a small like waiting room or like exam room. And here, I get to wait for the doctor to come in to verify everything's in check. I forgot to mention that before this, I had a port placement, so I did have a direct line to like my major like blood vessels or heart or whatever. So that is where they were going to do all the chemo. So I have this port in. I'm waiting for the doctor. Eventually, she comes in. She's like, yep, everything looks good. You're going to go through with this. We're going to get you started, and then we're going to send you on your way. So we waiting. The nurse or PA comes in with the initial like pre-round meds.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like Benadryl, like other stuff, just like anti-like reactants basically, so I want like if I had a reaction to the medicine it would be much less than,
right, sure,
like whatever. So they come in and then eventually they get to stab me, and stabbing me is the fun part. So I've been stabbed Like, I have lots of infusions for mm-hmm. other medical problems I have, like Crohn's disease. So I get stabbed maybe every 6 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So it's not in the port area, just in, like, veins or whatever. So I'm used to it, so it's mm-hmm. not the worst. The port was different. It was a lot more painful.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Right? And it did get better as time progressed, just because the area got less sore and red from the right. surgery where they put it in. They stab me with whatever. They have a heart protectant so my heart doesn't explode from all the chemo. That lasted about an hour. That was not the worst part. That was the easy part. Then we go up to another, like, infusion room, basically. It's this big floor with just little cubicles, maybe I would say the size of, like, 15 by 15.
Okay.
Maybe as much as, like, a small kitchen or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's a chair, TV, like, window you can look out. So it's a nice-looking place. And, like, as of now, I'm feeling great. I'm, like, I've heard all these stories about how bad chemo is going to be.
Right.
Because, like, as soon as you're diagnosed, like, you hear tons of stuff. And, like, your parents go and look up on Google, like, everything, every worst, like, right. case scenario. So I've heard it all already. And I'm just, like, there waiting. I'm just sitting there. I think it took till 7 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. From 10 o'clock till 7 o'clock, it was a 9 hour day, if I do my math right. And the chemo at first was fine. There's like just any other like day, I guess. I was just sitting there waiting in like a chair. I was eating food, I was talking with my parents, I was watching TV. And it was all perfectly normal. One of the medicines was bright red. That was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to see this bright red medicine come in. Later, I learned to hate it, but...
Right.
Yeah. So it was perfectly normal, and we get discharged. We go home, and that's when I have a fever of, like, 101
degrees. Oh, my goodness.
And if you have a port, having a fever is, like, it could be deadly.
Sure.
Like, because if the port area got infected, that means your heart got infected, it means mm-hmm. you're dead.
Oh.
So we rush back to the ER, and from 9 o'clock until 2 a.m, I'm awake hearing the beeping sounds, and like they stabbed me in the port again, flushed it with antibiotics, made sure it was all clean or whatever. And I'm just sitting there with a tube from a machine basically to my heart for another extended period.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
And you're not sleeping at this time. You're right. Just like trying to get as comfortable as possible in like a hospital bed in a dark room where every 10 seconds you hear a really loud beep. That's your heart rate.
Right.
And it was scary. I had like on the way there, I'd like text all my friends like, hey, pray for me. Mm-hmm. And I have a great friend group and they're amazing. So they all dropped everything and prayed for me and don't know what I would do without them. So you're just sitting there for hours, basically. Eventually, the doctors, like, come in, like, the ER docs, like, no one I'd ever seen before. They're like, we're going to move you upstairs to the ICU. You're just going to sit there. We're going to make sure you're okay. We're going to monitor you there. We have better stuff there instead of the ER. So I get moved at about 2 o'clock in the morning, and we go. It's a much more comfortable room.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit bigger. So we sit there. I spend the night. And then in the morning we get discharged and come back. It was fine.
Man.
They had no explanation for the fever. You just reacted to the medicine basically.
Okay.
So that was the good part, I guess. Another best worst case right. scenario. So the port was not infected. And then you're like, okay, so maybe that was the worst of it. It was not the worst of it. So the first 3 days, this is kind of like the progression I like to explain to everybody. The first 3 days your joints ache, your, like, every muscle and, like, everything just hurts, and, like, your whole body just feels...
What is the chemotherapy actually doing to you?
It's killing your cells. It kills...
Indiscriminately, right?
Yeah, fast-reproducing cells, mainly. Mm-hmm. And it just... Basically, it's just poison.
Okay.
And
the idea is you're going to kill a bunch of the cancer yep. cells, and you're going to outlast. You have to literally just...
Yeah.
Have your healthy cells be tougher than the cancer yep. cells. Great.
Basically, just hope the cancer cells do their job and take all your nutrients and
right.
like, so yeah. So the first 3 days, your body aches. You have insane nausea. The nausea meds you're on are like the highest prescription possible. You're not eating food. The next 3 days, I would argue, are worse. They are mouth sores. Mouth sores I hated. So you have all these cuts and like whatever in your mouth. You're not, once again, you're not touching food. You're just trying to like eat whatever you can. The mouth sores just like cover your mouth and like your jaws and whatever. And like basically like just breathing hurts. And it's like just painful, 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 painful. And eventually these mouth sores go away. They all kind of like progress, whatever. After the mouth sores, your joints start to ache again. And like you can't sleep, like you can't like do anything. All your like every single knuckle of your fingers is like needs to be like when you have to like crack a knuckle or it's like jammed or whatever, it just feels like that, but like 100 times worse.
No relief. Yeah.
Yeah. Every single one just needs to like have something done to them, but it just can't. And it's like that, your ankles, your toes, your like your neck, everything. And then it kind of slowly teeters off and you're kind of like back for a week. And those few days, eventually the symptoms last longer and longer with each chemo.
Oh.
So at first I was having like a week off and then I'd go back to school for a week. And then I would go back to chemo and the cycle would repeat.
Right.
And the first few times I went back to the hospital after every chemo, the night of or whatever. They put me in the ICU. The second time my blood pressure dropped to like half of what it's supposed to be, yeah. I think I would say. I was at like a 46, I think, instead of like a 76 or whatever. So I'm just, and I felt like, other than like the chemo symptoms, I was like, I feel fine. They're like, are you dizzy? Are you like feeling faint? I'm like, no. I'm like trying to like get up and like walk to my bed or whatever. And they're trying to like push me there in a like cart or whatever. And I'm like really, just really confused because it's 2 o'clock in the morning again.
Yeah.
So I sit there for another like day and a half, just getting monitored, blood pressure monitored, my mom and dad cycle in, coming back, my brother's visit. So it's just, I just don't know. It's just, you're there in a hospital just waiting.
Which is like, so miserable, even if you don't have to do anything, right? I mean, just having to be in a hospital for any amount of time is miserable. Leaving alone the fact that you're literally having poison injected into you the whole time, and
it was not the best.
I want to get to the happy stuff here in a little bit, but before we get to the break, I do want to bring up, right, the reason that we got you on air and the reason we're talking about you is because you're a man of faith, right? How does that play into it, being a super young guy? I mean, I always, you know, I like to think, yeah, of course, you know, if I got really sick, if I had whatever happened to me, whatever challenges in my life, I'm going to be just like Perpetua and Felicity and the lions, you know, thrown to the lion. I'm going to be strong and persevere. Realistically, given my personality, I see despair. I see myself just being just miserable and angry at God. I don't know. How was that experience for you?
So at first, like, I was kind of like, I mean, of course you like question, like, why is this happening to me? And like, I questioned that for a little while. Thankfully though, I mean, I have a huge group of friends and they're all very good Catholics. And they were all praying with me. They were all like helping me go through this. So without them, I probably would not have like trusted God as much. Right. At some point, maybe like halfway through, I kind of just like, kind of stopped thinking about God for a little while and just kind of focused on surviving. Like, right. I know, like, thinking about God would have helped me to survive, but I just, like, couldn't think straight.
Sure,
like,
sure, sure.
Just trying to figure it all out, so.
And you're still balancing school throughout all of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not repeating a grade or anything. You're still, good for you, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, it was difficult.
did you do, and this might be cliche, but my 4'11" grandmother, it was like her go-to phrase. Was there an offering it up element in any of this? Did you have?
When I remembered, yes.
Yeah.
So when I remembered that, I'm like, oh shoot, I could be offering this up for something. I would offer it up for something.
Right.
Mostly the souls in purgatory, whatever, just some general
That's
whatever.
Great.
When I forgot, that didn't happen as much.
Yeah.
So I kind of like had to continually remind myself, and my mom helped a lot with that. She's like, are you offering this up for something? I'm like, now I am.
Yeah, so. And you know, God, souls in purgatory, they're outside of time. I'm exactly. pretty sure that you get like back credit yeah. for the times you weren't thinking about it when you do think about it. I don't know exactly how that works, but I'm pretty sure that that's allowed.
I hope so.
You could offer it up for honest to God.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was top of his mind yeah. the whole time. Was, probably. Man, I wish that I could be editing videos for honest
Definitely.
To God
right now.
Yeah. Okay, so halfway through, I mean, is there a time when you, how many weeks of this all together were there?
4 months, so.
4 months of biweekly, once every 2 weeks?
Once every 2 weeks,
chemo?
Yes.
Okay.
So I think there was 8 cycles or rounds of chemo.
Okay.
Or something like that. So that happened for, yeah.
Okay, for 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, what, like, middle of it. I mean, is there despair? Is there hopelessness? Like, where do you...
You're just trying to kind of get through to the next week. You're right. Like... I'm just trying to, like, basically drown out the world any way possible. Mm-hmm. And you're just, like, trying to just get through the next day. Like, that's just your, like, next goal. Like, I just got to get to tomorrow, and hopefully tomorrow will be better.
Right.
And then you kind of, like, you kind of start to dread the hospital visits as
yeah,
they go on. Like, I...
You have made me dread the hospital yeah. right now, and I haven't had to deal with any of this.
Yeah, I'm never stepping foot in hospital
right.
if
yeah,
I don't have to.
I don't blame you.
So you kind of just, like, start to, like, you kind of, like, question at some point, like, why? At my midway point, the scan came back completely negative.
Oh,
so I was like,
God.
I already beat this. Like, why do I have another 2 months of chemo?
And what's the answer to that question?
Keep going.
Just to make sure?
just to make sure it doesn't come back.
Okay.
And you're kind of just like, why? Like, you understand that, like, you need to do the remaining time, but you're also just trying not to go to chemo. You're trying yeah. to just, like, forget about it. And
trying to just roll the dice to
yeah.
avoid having to do this again.
Mm-hmm.
And mom and dad, brothers at home, they were supportive?
Very much so, yes.
Praise God. Dude,
yeah.
good moms. Like,
it's
the
real.
Whole world runs on really good moms.
Yep.
Yeah. And you have a good one. I know
yeah,
your
I
mom.
Have
I'm a big fan
one.
Of your mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
So, okay, so in about 45 seconds, we're going to have to go to break, and then okay. I want to kind of pick up at the second half of chemo.
Perfect.
Moving forward, and then roll into, like, where you are now, and I want to talk about this pilgrimage you just did and all of this stuff. I really appreciate you coming in and being on air. Thank
we,
you so
we've
much.
We've got some special guests that are going to join us, too.
Yeah. Everybody keeps teasing that. I don't know who, one of them, they've got a big surprise coming up
big
next
surprise,
half.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited. Those of you watching, those of you listening, you know just as much about the next folks on the show as I do, or one of them in particular. All right, Jack, thank you so much. We're going to be right back. Ladies and gentlemen at home, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This has been Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlantis Catholic Radio. We'll be right back.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see, I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM. Too.
Please prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We are still here for the second part of what is hopefully going to become a more uplifting story with Jack. I think it's going to, but I was saying off air, I think the first half needs to be kind of depressing. Like, I really appreciate the detail. I really appreciate you going into the struggle because I think that's so, I don't know, I think it's good for us to hear. I think especially as Catholics, right? We, unlike some of our brothers and sisters in Christian denominations, we recognize and we embrace the struggle because at the end of the day, right, this world is not all there is, right? It's not even what we're made for. This is a hopefully a pit stop that prepares us for what we're actually created for, which is to be with our Creator forever. So God bless you, and we're going to dig in. But first, I have to ask, I don't know who you are, Connor. I had
Mystery
you
guest,
brought
yes.
in by the people I'm no longer allowed to call corporate overlords. Right? I was told specifically to stop doing that, so I'm not doing that. You were brought in by those guys who are great, and they said, you need to start the show by asking Connor who he is and why he's here.
Who do you think you are?
No,
I'm kidding.
Yes, no. I am a friend of Genesis, of the Overlord. Sorry, of the Overlord. And I actually came in to share part of my story as well. I have a very similar story to Jack here. I was actually 10 years in remission myself from Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so I wanted to kind of come in, maybe bring another perspective, just kind of a longer outlook on it. Like I said, not to dwell too much on some of the negative, but maybe just some more of the positive. And just kind of showing, like, look, like, you know, you go through one of those experiences, obviously, and I've been there, and it's something that I think you and I can relate to that not a lot of people can, but there's a lot of good things that you continue to look forward to, right? Just within my experience, you know, and having gone through that, it really prepares you to go through something, you know, hard down the line. And like you said, I'm a strong believer in everything happens for a reason. I feel like, you know, something like this and the reason that we're here is a big emphasis on how you're able to tackle challenges further down the line. Mm-hmm. But like I said, just, you know, after hearing about, you know, Jack coming on and Janice had brought it up, I'm a very big advocate. I've talked to plenty of people, plenty of survivors and plenty of people who've been through a similar story. And I think the one thing I always like to echo is it just continually gets better and it helps you build a full story, you know.
Totally.
And I think, you know, that's what I came here today to do. And I was really happy to join and kind of spread the message, if you will.
Praise God. Okay, awesome. Well, I want to get into all of that other side stuff here in a minute.
For
but
sure.
I do want to jump back over to you though, and sort of what's next? You're midway through. You're thinking, why do I even have to go back and do this for another month or whatever it was? For, 2 months, right?
Yep.
Was the midpoint, and you just do it. You stoically kind of accept it, which, I think is a beautifully masculine thing to do. And you launch forward. What does that last half month look like? And then what does it look like when it's done? That's what I want to hear about.
So the last month, it's once again, you're questioning, like, why? But once you push through that, you have a final scan. And after that scan, they'll 2 to 3 business days contact you, and
that's gotta be the worst.
Yeah. So after that, they came back completely negative, just like the one at the halfway point. So made me question even more why'd I go through it
right.
a second time. But whatever. And then they remove the port, and you kind of just try and forget it.
Right.
At least that's what I tried to do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I can speak, like, Jack, the number one thing for me, I think, that helped was distractions. Right.
Yeah.
I think just talking with people, and, you know, there's two sides of it. I think in my mind, they offer kind of, there's the camp sunshine where it's like you're around these people, you have that support system. There's the other side for me where it's like you put it behind you, right? And, you know, people kind of, like you say, you bring it up as a story, you understand that it's kind of a part of your life and it helped build you. But there's the other part of it where you're able to kind of forget it and put it behind you. You know what I mean? You're able to
sure.
kind of move forward. And I think that's the number one thing, like you said,
yep.
that absolutely helps. And that's the route I took as well.
So. Is it tough as a man to be, because I would imagine, right, I've had family members who went through similar things. There is like an infantilization piece that happens where you have people who almost want to like paint you as a victim. Like, oh, poor Jack. Poor Jack is so sad. Poor Connor. All these things. It's got to be so hard. Are you okay? What can I do for you? Which we, by virtue of our masculinity, want to reject. Be like, no,
right.
I got it. Leave me alone.
Right.
Like, is that tough? How do you navigate that piece?
So during the treatment, I kind of, at some points, kind of depend on the day, I was accepting all the help I could get.
Mm-hmm.
And at some points I wanted to do stuff for myself. Cause
right.
you kind of, you're just like, everyone's doing stuff for me. And I kind of like, you're not in control of the situation at all. And you just want to have at least some grasp on like being in control somehow for somewhat somewhere. So you try and like do things yourself. But lots of the time you need the help.
Yeah.
So it's very humbling.
No, I totally get it. My wife will tell you right now, and I'm talking little stuff, not big stuff, like little stuff. I can go back and forth between, typically when it's not actually something serious, I want to be treated like a baby. Right. I want like, oh, Angie, please bring me some ginger ale.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so the fever. And if it's something more serious, I'm like, no, I got it. Leave me alone. Yep. Like, I'm fine. No, what do you mean? I can walk. I can walk over to the bathroom. Doesn't matter. No, my ankle's fine. Yeah, that's a bone. It's fine. It's going to go back. Let me walk it off. It's just an interesting dichotomy, being masculine and having to struggle with being reliant on people that a way that we ought to be, but it's almost like our... I don't know, a lot of time our masculinity prevents us from, like, won't allow us to be reliant.
Correct. I tell my girlfriend all the time, yes, I will help. I will carry 10 grocery bags. If I have a cold, I will, yeah, I am not doing well at all. Right. I will need help out of bed, absolutely. So, yes, for sure.
So, on the upside, right, you find out you're in remission. Praise God. How many months ago was that?
That was end of February, early March, I would say.
Okay, so fairly recently.
I think I had my 3 month checkup, like, beginning of June.
And we're still doing good?
Yep.
Is there any, like, did you have a party? Like, how do you celebrate that? It's a big deal.
So after your final chemo, you still have those 2 weeks of not feeling great. Mm-hmm. And then after the final scan, I kind of just went home and slept. Okay. I was just like, I'm just going to sleep. Slept for probably 16 hours.
Oh, wow.
Really long time. And then I just kind of went back to my daily life, went back to school. Every now and then I'd feel like crap, and then I'd have to take a day off or whatever. I went back to sports almost immediately, or two-ish weeks or whatever.
Right.
So you can just go back to your daily life.
Are you back, you think, now, physically and everything, to where you were before this all started?
Definitely not. Okay. I think, especially like this week recently, I've been very tired. Mm-hmm. We had wrestling practices start up again, so that probably goes along with it. But you just don't have the endurance you had. You lost 100% of your muscle mass, and you have to build it all back. 16 years worth of muscles.
Oh, yeah.
Just gone.
Plus basic endurance stuff and everything, right?
Jack, I have to say too, like, I know, and I imagine beforehand, like, you know, the fatigue and everything you experience, and it's kind of an unknown of why am I so tired? You know, what's going on? You take that perspective now of like, okay, now I can fulfill that potential. Like now I'm 100%. Like, let's go. Let's see what I can do. You know what I mean? I think that was something I was so excited about is you're at that age. It's like, you know, peak athleticism now. And it's like, okay, I can really start to see what I'm made of. You know, that was the biggest thing for me. It was like a what if, but now it's like, okay, I can look at the now and like, this is what I'm able to achieve now. I think that's the most exciting part about it. It's like, I don't have that unknown hindrance on me anymore. It's like, now I can really go and achieve, you know, whatever, you know, sport or anything that you're in. It's exciting.
I have a question, actually.
Yeah.
So you talked about going to sleep for 16 hours. It made me think, I know with certain pharmaceuticals that I've taken, whether it be just NyQuil over the counter or some more potent ones, I've had very odd dreams. Did you guys experience that when you were like, when you'd sleep, did you have dreams? I was like, whoa, that was out of left field. This is really weird. I know that's probably a question you weren't even expecting.
So when I slept, if I did sleep, it was no dreams. I was just like blank mind, and like I might have dreamed, but I definitely don't remember it now.
Fair.
It was just empty, basically.
Mm.
I think at that point too, you're so worried about like day to day, you know. And I think maybe that there's something deep, you know, in you when you're sleeping. I think you're just so worried about what's coming next and taking it so close in one day at a time. I think that can kind of hinder a little bit of the dreaming as well. But, you know, as part of a segue, I think the biggest thing too is like, just with the hindsight of all of it, taking it day by day was another thing like really good to learn from. And just like, you really get that perspective of like, look, why don't I go on that trip? Why don't I go for this walk? Why don't I go extra, you know, something as small as that, right? Or why don't I go for it? You know, I think that's just kind of something you gain. But taking it back to the dreaming portion too, you know, even just at night or even during the day, I remember, you know, you're in the hospital bed and you're like, the one place or the one thing I want to do is not be here. And, you know, that's the one thing you think of when you're there is like, now you have all these opportunities, right? And so you're able to dream on, I guess, both facets, awake and asleep, if that makes sense, right?
So at the risk of sounding cliche, I want to talk a little bit about sort of like new perspectives, right? Things that come away, especially as a young guy with your whole life ahead of you. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, surprise, you might not be here next year. Right. How does that affect you both before or both when you're still in the am I going to survive this thing like that arena? And how does it affect you now when it's sort of, hey, I moved past this. Right. I beat this thing and now I've been given this second lease on life that might have killed me 50, 100 years ago or whatever. Like, what are those two? I don't know. How's your brain work? What is your outlook?
So from wrestling, I had already kind of like a bit of an ego where I knew that as long as like I thought I could win, I would win. Mm-hmm. So coming into cancer, I was like, I'm not going to lose to this. Like, it's cancer. Like,
right.
Yeah. I kind of laughed at it. It was just like the like one of the worst diseases known to mankind.
Yeah.
So I kind of was just like, I was a bit of an ego and just like, I'm going to beat this. And I knew I was going to beat it. And like, I think my outlook before chemo, it was lots of like, I would say like question, like, why is this important? Like mm-hmm. all the, like the school stuff or whatever, like understanding that school is important, but also trying to find the deeper like meaning behind it where sure. like it's meant to learn, not meant for a grade. Kind of just like being in the present yet also like looking towards the future, I guess, kind of like hard to explain, but, and I think cancer just kind of like drove that home. Like what I do now, it will affect me later on. So I got to choose the good things to do now that will affect me like positively later on. But then what about all the stuff that won't affect me later on?
Right.
Like where's it coming to? What's the point? Because like I could die tomorrow. So what's the point in doing this math homework?
Or, like, it's always math. It's on math.
Math is hard.
What about faith life? Like faith how life, do you think your faith life has changed?
I would say prayer is a lot more important. Mm-hmm. Because you're like, why didn't I spend that extra hour in prayer? Why didn't I like spend 30 more minutes in prayer? Why didn't I just like notice someone and just like pray for them? Like they're having a rough day, like spontaneous prayer, whatever. You're just like kind of like a bit drawn towards like prayer in general, just because it's like drawing you closer to God. And you're like, why didn't I try and get closer to the creator of the universe? Like,
right.
like what else was more important basically? So
was there ever any, because I've done this about much more minor inconveniences in my life. Was there any anger at God?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Like from, this is just like my personality in general. I feel like I have kind of more of like a supportive personality. Like I try and take the pain away from other people like as best as I can. Mm-hmm. So I kind of saw this as like, since I'm going through this, that means one of my friends might not have had to go through this. So I was kind of like I didn't realize it at first, kind of like later on after it all went through, I was like, I kind of like had asked for like my friend's pain to be taken away and like put onto me, because like I knew I could handle it because my ego. So I was kind of later on, I was almost grateful that I went through it, because it means my family or friends didn't have to go through that.
Man, stop having such a mature perspective.
Sorry.
It's making me feel bad. I want to talk a little bit about this pilgrimage you just did to Rome.
Yes.
Can you dig into that?
Yep. So I was going to go for Blessed Carlo Acutis' canonization, so the Jubilee Teen Week or whatever.
Pope then, Francis ruined all that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could have lasted just like two more weeks. So he's also my patron saint, Blessed Carlo Acutis. So that was going to be like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity
cool.
for me. So I was really disappointed that... it didn't happen, but I did get to go see the body of the Pope, which was
cool. What I was, so I heard a lot of people who actually had a similar thing. They were like, we were gonna go and then Pope Francis died and now everything's the schedule's changed, and obviously, you know, his soul's a faithful part of mercy of God, rest in peace, but it's so cool. Who gets to go to Rome to, you know, during a conclave or during something like that? So when were you there in relation to Pope Francis's death and Pope Leo's ascension?
So Pope Francis's death happened, I think it was like a couple of days or like the week before or whatever. Okay. And we left. We were there. We got there 2 days before the funeral happened.
Mm-hmm.
So that Friday. And then I think he was buried on Sunday. Or maybe it was Saturday. But we got there. And
who's that, we, by the way?
My aunt, my grandpa, and myself.
Okay.
So it's just fine. Us three. So it was fun, yeah. And then we have a cousin who's a priest in Rome.
Oh,
so
cool.
So he kind of tour guided us a little while.
Yeah.
But we got there on this Friday, and jet lag everything. We take a nap, and then we go straight to St. Peter's Basilica mm-hmm. for visiting the body of the Pope. And it's a four-hour line. You're standing in St. Peter's Square, hats on, sunscreen on, burning up.
Sounds like Whitewater, except a lot more exciting.
And we go through, and they just have, like, a small, simple, like, alleyway or, like, procession towards his body. It was an open casket in front of the altar of St. Peter. You walk by, you pay your respects, and then you just walk out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
5 seconds?
Basically. Yeah. There's lots of people.
So were you there when the conclave started?
No, I think we left a couple of days before.
Okay. So you didn't get to hang out with Pope Leo.
Would have been cool.
That would have been really cool.
Yeah.
No, that's fantastic. Anything else while you were in Rome?
We saw lots of churches.
Yeah.
They were gorgeous.
A bunch of them there.
Yeah. Some of the more niche ones were, I think, the prettiest.
Mm-hmm.
There was one called St. Clemens. It's like a little like underground church, like built like a Roman forum or like a Roman house with like the the courtyard and pillars. Everything is beautiful. It was like built basically underground.
Right.
It was like layers below everything else in the city.
Yeah.
That was like really, really cool. My cousin, who's a Dominican, we stayed at the Angelicum.
That's cool.
We got a tour there, and that was really fun. There was a fig tree that Pope John Paul II sat under, so we gotta go visit that.
That's great.
So yeah, lots of churches.
I remember, and it's been 15 years since I was in Rome, but you would have the old churches were always. A lot of them are like down below because the city's just been, they'll just knock down a building, build something else on top of it, right? There's just striations, just layers going down, down, down.
Yeah.
And it was so cool. We spent a week or so there and, you know, saw, I don't know, probably 100 churches that we popped in and visited. But, you know, it was such a tiny fraction of all the churches in Rome. I mean, you just walk down the street, be like, oh, I'm going to pop in this one real fast. Tally mark another one that I went to see. But it was so cool. I need to go back. I would love to go back.
It's pretty. It's really great.
No, that's really amazing. Did you do like the catacombs and all that? Sistine
Chapel? We did not do the catacombs. They were closed from the Pope's death. So we didn't get a... We did climb up to the dome of St. Peter's Basilicas, though.
Oh, that was awesome. Yeah, like behind the giant statues
Like top, and like you have this like basically aerial view of the surrounding, whatever. You got to see the gardens from there. And awesome.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
When did you get back? Right before the election?
Before. It was like, we were there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And I got home on Tuesday. So, 5-ish days.
That is super cool.
Yep.
All right, well, I guess this one's for both of you guys, and then I want to get into some more laid-back kind of stuff for the last 10 minutes or so. It's just advice time, right? And it doesn't have to be somebody who's got a terminal illness or something right now, right? But just, I think your perspective is really interesting, considering you've both got a fairly unique perspective on things, right? Coming pretty close to death and then get to hang out, especially as a young guy, is a big deal. But what advice do you think you would have, I would say spiritual or otherwise, but leaning towards the spiritual side, for young people in general, given the experiences that you have had?
I would say a lot of times I'm a big believer in everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think taking the learnings that you have and understanding that, you know, the faith that you had leading up to this will still be with you going forward as well, I think was very important for me. But also, as I mentioned, seeing that everything happens for a reason and how this will help prepare me and prepare us, and, you know, how this, like you said, just advice for anyone when you go through hardship and adversity, how it prepares you going forward, right?
How do you think it's prepared you going forward?
I've had other very difficult moments in my life come up, you know, over those past 10 years since I've been in, you know, or since I've beat it, kicked it, you know what? And it's helped me again gain that perspective of could be a lot worse, right? You know, there's a lot of times where you say, would I rather go through this again, or is this something that I think I can really sit down and plan out and beat, right?
Right.
Is this something that's in my hands, or is this something that's not necessarily in my hands, right? Or who can I lean on, or what can I lean on to really get me through this experience? And I think that perspective is something that I've been able to build, not just over time and not just through maturity, but going through those big experiences, the lower that you dig and the lower that you go, I think the higher that you tend to rebound.
I like that a lot.
That's definitely something that I'd lean into a lot, for sure.
Yeah, I feel like, and once again, not to minimize, but it puts a lot of like minor inconveniences that many of us might think are major inconveniences into perspective.
For sure.
Like, man, this stinks, but hey, you know what's really cool? It's not cancer. I don't have to go to chemo over the fact that I'm going to be late for work.
Right.
Or had a fender bender today, or I don't know, I have some illness that's going to be really frustrating for a while.
For sure.
At least this isn't a life-threatening thing that's going to ruin months and months and make me miserable, put me through hell for a while.
Absolutely. And I'll have to add one other thing. I had a rhetoric professor back in college, and she gave me one lovely line before we would do our public speeches in class. Everybody, of course, takes rhetoric. Yeah, I could do public speaking. Then you get up there, you know, very scared.
Right.
But the one thing she always said is, I will still lead a full and happy life. And that's something I tend to say to myself anytime you're going through something difficult, you know, whether it's a presentation or anything that you may be afraid of going into, you always have to go in, I will still lead a full and happy life. And then I always, you know, finish that with everything happens for a reason. And it tends to get me the places that I like to go.
I will still lead a full and happy life is a good title for the episode. Just saying. Throwing that out there. What about you, Jack?
I would say don't get mad at God when stuff goes wrong. As much as suffering sucks, it's a good thing. It definitely is, when you offer it up, a very beautiful thing. But also, especially for the men, would you rather see yourself suffering and going through pain or the people you love go through
it? Yeah, that's huge.
Like, as like a man, or a growing young man. Like, knowing that the pain was put on me instead of somebody else, like, was really, really great. Like, if this was, like, on one of my brothers, as much as, like, I fight and argue with them as brothers do, it would suck.
Yeah, and you'd probably take it back in a heartbeat.
Because, like, you're just, like, as much as I couldn't do anything now, there's even less you can do for someone when they're going through it.
Right.
You just, like, you can't help them with the pain. You can't, like, all you can do is just as, like, much as possible, and that's just, like, getting them a cup of water or whatever.
See, once again, Jack, this is obnoxiously annoyingly mature. Like, great job. You're right. That's correct. I wish that myself, a guy who's a couple decades older than you, could have that perspective. No, but it is true, right? I see, and I need to think more in that in my own mind, right, when I've got an illness and I have something wrong with me, right? My daughter the other day, I've got an 18-month-old girl, and we live out in the middle of nowhere. We have fires all the time, and the poor thing walked through a fire, hot ashes, had one of her feet swollen up, and the whole time I'm thinking, God, just let me do this, please. I'll walk through the ashes right now if it'll mean that those go away. And I felt that in the moment, but that's not that level of, like, maturity or whatever in my understanding, my faith, the way I interact with the people I love, didn't come about until I had children, right? I think you're really ahead of the game, brother. No, keep it up, whatever you're doing. Keep rocking and rolling with it.
And I have to say, on something I heard earlier as well, is when you have your positive outlook while going through it, I think is the number one thing that I had heard and I tried to do as well. And I feel like that genuinely makes a difference. I think when you have such a positive outlook, like, yeah, it is, you know, we're getting through it. Like, there's no if, like, it's a when, you know what I mean? And I think the positive outlook is something that helps you so much in the moment. And it's something that when you have that perspective and you keep it going forward, it takes you really good places.
Yeah, we are this, a big part of this life that we have in this plane of existence, right? Corporeal, temporal beings, right? Is going to be suffering, right? But it does not have to be despair. It should not be despair. And as somebody who is prone, as someone who will fall into despair occasionally, that is not of God. We had Father John Klein on not too long ago, and he was talking about that. He was talking about human emotions, feelings. A lot of these can come from God. Despair is never from God, right? Fear can sometimes be from God, right? But despair is not, right? Despair, hopelessness is not of God. What does Dante have written on the gates of hell, right? Abandon all hope, ye who enter. And not falling into despair, I think, is just such a core message of your story and your story and what we all can take away, right? Is putting on the armor of Christ, right? A big part of that is despair is a choice and choosing not to despair. So I think that was great. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing that, Jack.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Connor, thanks for being on here, too.
Happy, like I said, just happy to provide the perspective. And, you know, like I said, there's a lot to look forward to. There's a lot of ups and downs, but, you know, like I said, the deeper the valley, the higher the hill.
So, heck yeah, man. Well, we've got a couple of minutes left, and we're gonna end with some loaded questions. Does that sound
loaded
good?
Questions.
We haven't done loaded like questions
we haven't
in a
done
while.
That in a while. This is a great episode to do it for, too.
Yeah, I know. I wanted some levity here at the end, right?
Great
I think
idea,
we ended
John
on a high note, but I want to hit some of these. All right, so basically, you got a couple of cards. You pick a question. It's designed for, like, 8-year-olds. So pick your favorite, and we're going to answer it. Producer Julian's going to go first. It's going to be great.
I will go first, and we're doing one question each?
We'll start with one. We might do a second one.
Okay. What is your favorite thing to eat for breakfast? And mine is bacon. Bacon, really, I just think it encompasses all the important food groups, fat and protein, to start the day. Yeah. Bacon.
Excellent answer.
I dig that.
Yeah, thank you. All
right. Either you guys got one you want to tackle?
I do have one here, and I got an answer in my head immediately. It says, if you could have any superpower, what would you choose?
There's a, yeah.
Well, if there's an obvious, mine is teleportation. That's and the reason I say teleportation is flight costs are crazy. No, I would love, there are plenty of times, a day like today, a little bit stormy, I would love to say, boom, I am here, I am there, I can go teleport to the beach, I can go teleport wherever else. But my rule would be I have to be able to grab one person. Yeah, I don't know if anyone's watched like Dragon Ball. Right. Goku has to touch somebody and then he can teleport with them.
Sure.
That would be my caveat is I touch somebody, you know, I could grab their shoulder, I could teleport. So
I think it's a really solid answer.
Yeah.
And it is multifaceted because you could still be a superhero with teleportation.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
It's essentially
absolutely.
Super speed and all. Yeah. It's, it's very good.
It's everything mixed.
I would go with having the remote control from the movie Click.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Very interesting one. Yeah, I do like that. I do like that as well.
What you got, Jack?
I have, what is your least favorite thing to eat? And I would say it's bacon.
Wow.
No way.
We have shots fired.
Yeah. Are you serious? Conflict. You don't like bacon?
I do not.
I've never met someone in my entire life who didn't like bacon.
Wow. Yeah.
Whoa. That's wild.
Does it depend on the kind of bacon?
No.
Okay, just
actually,
any bacon.
I mean, Canadian bacon, but that's just ham.
So. Yeah, well, that's fair. That's fair.
Okay, that was all right.
That's the kind of hot takes that can really stir up the algorithm. So there you go, Jeff.
All right, we're almost out of time. I'm going to do fast. If you could snack on one thing every day, what would it be? I am a huge fan of bacon. All right. And that is all the time we have for today, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Producer Julian.
Signing off.
Over and out.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160 The Quest.